KSTP, KSTP FM, St. Paul, Minneapolis. 77 degrees at 8 p.m. BULOVA Bulova watch time. For his birthday or anniversary, give the 17-jewel Bulova Senator handsome, dependable, and exceptional value. Only $39.75 federal tax included.
The Jane Pickens Show, usually heard at this time, will not be presented in order that we may bring you the following special program. A Ballad for the Babe.
Come and listen to a tale I will tell of a hero we all love so well. He played ball, what a hitter, what a man. And he'll never be forgotten through our land.
The National Broadcasting Company presents A Ballad for Babe Ruth.
Here's the babe, here's the babe. Hear the frenzied people rave. Send the fielders back against the farthest wall. When he missed, what a miss. All the air around him hissed. When he hit the ball, there was no ball at all.
This is a big country and always has been. A country of men who cast a shadow the length and breadth of the land. Of men who did things worth talking about in their own time and in the years that followed. We'd like to talk about our heroes, but we can't help thinking of them today.
There was Daniel Boone with his coonskin cap and long Kentucky rifle, blazing new trails and opening up the wilderness.
And Davy Crockett, who followed freedom and the frontier from the hills of Tennessee to Texas and the Alamo.
There was Paul Bunyan, the giant lumberjack. When his axe rang, it wasn't one tree that fell, but a whole forest. They sing of John Henry, the steel-driving man, who swung his hammer like a rainbow around his shoulder.
And there was Johnny Appleseed, a strange old man who roamed the still wild woodlands long ago to spread the bloom of apple blossoms through the newly settled land.
These were big men. Not all in history books, but in the hearts of the people. Some of them were real. Some were made up in the tall tales of a big country. All of them are legends. Legends from the past. But there's one legend we ourselves have seen come into being.
I saw the babe. Sure, I saw him plenty times. Boy, I saw him hit one off Lefty Grove that must have gone a mile. Sure, I saw the babe. You bet I did. I tell you, I was there the day he hit the three of them homers in one game.
I saw the babe, all right. You're darn right I did. I saw him in the World Series in Chicago when he pointed towards center field and smacked the ball just where he said he would.
George Herman. Don't worry, though. No one will ever need to look him up in any book. And books can't tell just who he was or what he did that made the crowd roar with a cheer longer and louder than a noisy nation ever gave to any other man. Years are marked in memory by his greatness, but most of all, the 1920s. He played in a time of champions, of great champions, in a time set apart for most of us, touched with the glory of our own youth, as well as by the deeds of those we like remembering.
There was a big red horse called Man of War.
And a boy named Sandy who could really boot a winner home.
Jack Dempsey slugged his way to the heavyweight title.
And we followed Bobby Jones from tee to fairway, marveling at his skill.
The crowd came to their feet as one man when Red Grain suddenly broke into the clear and galloped goalward.
And excitement crackled in the air like summer lightning when Ty Cobb took off the second, slid and hooked the bag with gleaming spikes for a stolen base.
But the clearest picture of them all is that of a huge bulk of a man, delicately balanced at home plate. There was a white flash of the ball, a graceful, mighty swing, the crack of the bat, the gasp of the crowd, and a white sphere sailing high in the sunlight, up, up, and up, hanging against the sky and falling far beyond the field of play. While the crowd still watched the ball in flight, the big fellow was trotting deliberately with quick little steps around the bases. Then suddenly there came the roar that lasted till the trotting figure touched his cap again and disappeared into the dugout. That was a day, believe me, when it was good to be out at the old ball game.
That Ruth, what a man.
That's a babe for you. Did you see that sock, brother?
There goes your old ball game.
And even if you weren't there, the wonder quickly spread through the streets as the crowd hurried from the game, eager to tell what they had seen.
I never seen one hit so far, I tell you. Never in my life.
And the wonder spread across the land as another city's homebound workers glanced up from their papers.
How do you like that? I see where the babe hit another one today.
And to the country crossroads where the men sitting on the steps of the store talked it over.
Another homer for the babe makes 56. Doggone if the big fella ain't gonna break his own...
Babe, hear the frenzied people rave. Send the fielders back against the farthest wall. When he missed, what a miss. All the air around him hissed. When he hit the ball, there was no ball at all.
Did you ever watch a little kid playing ball with the older guys? And did you see the way he scowls and squints in desperation as he swings the two big bats? There's a sigh, almost like a sob, when he hits or misses. For the older kids have teased and laughed at him. He wants to show them what he can do, that he belongs. He's scared they won't let him play, that they'll tell him to beat it for home. The babe was like that. Yes, the Bam himself, the big fella. And the babe didn't want to go home. Not back where he came from. The babe came from the back streets of Baltimore, from the waterfront, from the alleyways. His mother died by the time he reached his teens. His dad had trouble enough and more just trying to make a living. So George found himself at St. Mary's, an industrial school for boys, a place for kids who didn't have a proper home. He was 7 years old when he first walked through St. Mary's gate. Forlorn, with nothing but a phony pride in his alley-bred toughness to keep him from being scared. He was lonely and resentful, and it seemed a cheerless place. But it was spring. And even the kids of St. Mary's share the sunlight. They can't take that away because you're poor. And they shared a game with kids everywhere. Wherever there's a playground or a vacant lot, the ball was lopsided, held together with layer on layer of tape. The once-cracked bat was spliced together. The awkward kid with the big, wide face and straggling ears stood apart at first, too shy, too proud, too sullen to join the boys who ran shouting after the ball. But then he looked up at the man with the bat, Brother Matthias, 6'6" of solid bone and muscle. One hand tossed up the ball, the other swung that bat, and wham! That hunk of yarn and tape went climbing farther than George had ever seen a baseball hit. The kid crept closer, and Brother Matthews smiled.
Here, George. You take the bat. Try it.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Nah, I guess I don't want to play.
Oh, come on. I bet you can't hit one past the pitcher's mound.
Ah, he can't hit. He's too late.
Come on, play ball.
But now, toss up the ball. Now, swing. That's it, that's it.
Gosh, I hit it.
It was a feeble trickler, and the kids all jeered. But his hands had felt the pleasant shock of the wood meeting the ball. He tried again and again, and at last he was in the game. He had a place. He had a way to show that he belonged. Take up thy bed and walk, another had once said. Take up thy bat and hit, said Brother Matthias. And it was something like a miracle, for it helped to change a warped and twisted kid into a man who would return the kindness he was shown to many others.
Every dream that the babe ever had rode a baseball and made his young heart glad. All the hard luck that makes a poor boy Blue. Blew away and made his wildest dreams come true. Here's the babe, here's the babe, hear the frenzied people rave. Send the fielders back against the farthest wall. When he missed, what a miss, all the air around him hissed. When he hit the ball, there was no ball at all.
For 12 years, the babe was in and out of that St. Mary's school. But when he was 19, the gates of St. Mary's closed behind him, and he set off to try out for a baseball team. An overgrown, raw-boned boy, with hope and defiance on his face, a trembling feeling down inside his stomach, wearing his first suit of store-bought clothes. They laughed at him at the training camp, this kid who'd never ridden on a Pullman car, who'd never stayed at a hotel, nor learned to eat without gulping greedily to make sure he got his share. But they didn't laugh when he threw that ball with a slingshot arm, or when, at the sound like a rifle crack, they looked up to see the ball flying past the fielder's head. He started as a pitcher and was a good one, too. But the crowd yelled to see him belt that ball, so he went to the outfield where he could play every day. He made his way up from Providence to Boston until, at last, he became a member of the New York Yankees.
Don't bring a clown to old Broadway. You got to clown on Broadway. Your troubles there are out of style. For Broadway.
With all our faults and failings, who yet became the very best in his field.
60 times in the year of 27. 60 baseballs went sailing up to heaven. 60 home runs the babe smacked, and I'll bet that those 60 balls all are sailing yet. Here's the babe, here's the babe, hear the frenzied people rave. Send the fielders back against the farthest wall. When he missed, what a miss, all the air around him hissed. When he hit the ball, there was no ball at all.
The babe was too much like the rest of us for sudden wealth and fame to leave him untouched. He was a kid who'd never eaten quite enough. Remembering hunger, he ate too much. Remembering other things, he showed off a little. He broke the training rules and swaggered in his glory. He quarreled with an umpire and threw a punch. He chased the fan who called him names into the stands with a baseball bat. He forgot about the teammates who helped to make him great. There's no need to take lightly or gloss over the mistakes he made. Even those who loved to cheer him were forced to grumble.
Who does that Ruth think he is, I wonder?
He must think he's bigger than the game.
What's the matter? Can't the guy stand prosperity?
He sure makes a man pale. I mean, he's acting like a kid.
They fined him for his violations of the rules, and they suspended him from playing. He hardly seemed to understand. But when you've had too little for so long, you're apt to take too much. But then one night at a baseball writer's dinner, where he was being honored for his feats at bat, a man who didn't pretend to be too perfect himself turned to him. It was Jimmy Walker, a kid from the sidewalks of New York, who knew how easy it is to make mistakes. And Jimmy said,
"Look, babe, they asked you here to honor you. In my book, they should. But these aren't the guys you're most important to. Guys who mean the most to you. The guys who care about you most. The kids who are on the street, like you once were. In the long run, nobody really cares how many homers you hit. It's not important, really, what happens to you. But the kids on the street, the kids with dirty faces who've never had a chance, they look up to you once you were one of them. And your success is theirs. Sports writers can find another hero, but those kids can't. You don't owe us anything, perhaps, us fans. We go to see you play because we like the game of baseball."
Babe was never in trouble after that. He was foolish sometimes, but never wrong at heart. He made himself sick eating hot dogs and drinking soda pop. This man who'd never had hot dogs nor soda pop when he was little. When the Babe grew truly ill, word came he was fighting for his life. And the kids hung around St. Vincent's Hospital night and day until they knew that he was well. That told him even more than Jimmy Walker had about who he was and what he meant to us. After that, you didn't need to worry anymore about the Babe, for he had found his friends, the kids of America. And from then on, he never let them down. We began to see another picture in the papers, a picture of the Babe with a big smile on his face, sitting by the bed of some hard luck kid in the hospital, or with a gang of youngsters gathered around him at a school, a home, an orphanage. In the excitement of a World Series, he took time off to visit Johnny Sylvester, who lay close to death. He promised to hit a home run just for Johnny. And he did just that the very next time he came to bat. Gradually, the gratitude of kids like Johnny came to mean more to him than all the adulation of the fans. Babe stopped playing ball after more than 20 seasons. We all felt a little older, for he was a part of our youth, a part of the golden time when we were all younger. After that, we saw him less and less. But he appeared again on Garrick Day when we honored the pride of the Yankees, a gallant figure whose career and life itself was being ended by a tragic illness. It was the Babe who cried for all of us. His arm around his old teammate's shoulder as Lou Gehrig, sensing the affection he had earned, spoke not of his misfortune, but of his friends.
I consider myself the luckiest man in the world.
Just 8 years later, in 1947, the Babe stood again in Yankee Stadium. This time on Babe Ruth Day. He had been ill and close to death himself just months before.
Proud that the kids remember me. I love kids. I've always been for the youngsters of America. And I will be till the day I die.
I've always been for the kids, and I will be till the day I die. And that occasion marked the beginning of the Babe Ruth Foundation to give a better chance to kids who have had too little.
In the baseball years to come, when the fans gather at the stadium, when the bags are full and the count is 3-2, the Babe's big bat will always pull the Yankees through.
Here's the Babe, hear the frenzied people rave. Send the fielders back against the farthest wall. When he missed, what a miss, all the air around him hissed. When he hit the ball, there was no ball at all.
After that, the Babe spent all the time and strength he had left in giving back all that had been given him. It may not seem to be much of a claim on fame to hit a baseball farther with a bat than any other man, but it wasn't just his giant swing that made the Babe a legend. It's the pride we have in ourselves that we gave him his chance to make his mark in his own way. It's the pride we have in a land that asks no questions except, what can you do? And can you do it well? Let him join the heroes of the land. heroes of legend, those of myth and history. Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett, John Henry and Paul Bunyan, Johnny Appleseed, and all the rest.
Come and listen to a tale I will tell of a hero